Wade and I live in Los Angeles. We work in the social media landscape. We're all trying to be our best out there, and we're all ambitious, and we all want to do a lot in the world, but you really have to boil it down to like your why, your reason. A mom reached out to me on Instagram and told me that her four-year-old daughter has alopecia and she's been really struggling with it lately. And she asked if I would meet with her. And so we met with Addie, who's 4 years old, for several hours, seeing Addie's face light up and be like, I'm not alone in this. And we are in this together, you and me. It was just such like this tangible reminder of how important it is to focus on the why and to try and have so much positive impact on other people.
Hello and welcome to the Conspiracy of Goodness podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Ulrich, and I'm also the founder of the Goodness Exchange, which is a big global website full of good news, really important things happening in the world that we're just not hearing enough about. So head over to the Goodness Exchange if you want more of the good content that we're going to share with you today. But otherwise, welcome to a podcast that shares the innovators, the idea people, and the people who are changing our future. Today, we're going to be chatting with a dynamic creative duo, husband and wife, Abby Wren and Wade Holland. They are YouTube content creators with over 500,000 fans, and there's a reason for that. Abby and Wade bring this vibrant energy of pure wonder to everything they do, everywhere they show up. They are doing gripping storytelling videos, they're doing interviews, event participations, and they share this contagious passion for creating bold, impactful media that has a sense of advocacy and artistry. Abby is a creative makeup artist, and her bald head has become her unique canvas. And she shares her journey with something called alopecia, which you may know is an autoimmune disorder that causes you to lose your hair. And she uses this part of her body as such an amazing canvas. And then there's Wade. Wade is just the best possible advocate for the environment that I think I've run across in a long time. He's a veteran creative director and dynamic videographer, and he passions his channel for the outdoors in a way that just makes everything seem larger and more expansive and more fun. So together, they have a creative media house they call Renegade Media. And that is the culmination of all this sticky creative energy that they have and this purpose-driven production. They encourage people to really embrace their uniqueness. And they do that by being vulnerable and wonderful first, right in front of us. So welcome, Abby and Wade.
Hello! What an intro! My goodness, wow! Thank you so much.
That was incredible.
Well, I tell you, I have to tell people about this wonderful innovation conference that we met at. There's this beautiful innovation conference in Burlington, Vermont called Sea Change. And last September, I met Abby and Wade there, and I was just blown away by this energy that seems to follow you in your wake. And you're doing You're talking about two subjects that we that need good energy. Take turns. Tell us what you do. Abby, what do you do?
Oh, man, it's always a challenging question for both of us because what we do goes in and out of so many different industries and descriptions. So it's hard to describe, but I would say at the core of it, I'm a creative makeup artist and digital video creator, and I've kind of transformed that over the years into becoming really more of an artist than a makeup artist. So it's kind of evolved over the years, and I run Renegade Media with my husband, Wade.
Yeah. And Wade, tell us what you do.
So what I do first off is I am this beautiful human being's husband from last year, recently married. So very excited about that. But what I also do is I'm a video creator, creative director, and a huge mission of mine is to help get people into the outdoors and celebrate the colorful, unique side of themselves and tap into maybe a side of themselves that they normally would feel a little bit more uncomfortable stepping into, but you know, I act as a bridge for that for people.
And again, as I mentioned in the introduction, what I think you guys do is you're stepping into that vulnerability void. You just go through your moments in celebration with a sense of celebration. You with your creativity and your artistry, Abby and Wade, gosh, you know, there couldn't be anybody funner to take a hike with than you, I can only imagine. But, you know, I think there's what you're willing to do is be vulnerable first. I know that you probably don't think of it like that, but, you know, sometimes when we see people that are just, you know, at the edges of their sense of joy, whether it's, you know, wearing something or whether it's how they're carrying on in a normal environment, gosh, that leaves so much bandwidth for us to step into if somebody else has taken us out there on the edge.
Totally agree. Yeah, it's being vulnerable is something that, I mean, it looks really different for everyone, right? But it's one of those things that I just feel is so, so important, because once you kind of reach one layer of vulnerability, it kind of grows and compounds, and then you're able to just put yourself out there fully and show up in the world as your true authentic self. And that is like, what are we doing in life if we're not doing that? You know, like, I don't know. I feel really strongly that that's really important. And it's taken, at least for my own personal journey, it's taken a long time to get there. But man, the amount that I've learned along that road has just like, it's definitely turned me into the person I am today. And it's just, I think it's made an impact, hopefully, in other people's lives along the way. And that's just the end goal of everything that we're doing. So I think it's like essential to be vulnerable in that way.
Definitely.
So I was going to do this later, because we're not going to make this interview, though it's a topic that I'm sure we could have a whole conversation about, the alopecia, but let's give people enough of that story so that they can appreciate all this artistry and how you've kind of taken one thing and turned it into another.
Totally. Yeah. Man, yeah, alopecia has been just such a wild ride. And sometimes it's hard for me to put it into words and distill it down, because it has just been such a huge part of who I've become as a grown woman now over the years. But yeah, it's an autoimmune disease that causes hair loss. And it starts with the hair follicles unknowingly attacking themselves. Basically, it's your immune system saying, no, something's wrong. We need to fight these hair follicles. And they mistakenly cause the hair to fall out. So it's your body's confused somehow. So that's the root of it. So I had my first experience with alopecia when I was 15 years old. I was entering high school and I was just kind of learning about who I was as a person, you know, at 15. And then that happened to me. And within about the span of 2 months, all my hair was gone, which was a wild ride. You know, if you're listening here, I'll paint the picture for you. You know, I'm 15 years old and I'm in my shower washing my hair, and suddenly handfuls are coming out. It was just completely blindsided me and caught me off guard and kind of flipped my whole world upside down in terms of my self-image and who I'm looking at in the mirror. So it was pretty emotional to go through at that age when it's already kind of tough. You know, it's high school, it's a weird time for all of us, but especially going through that kind of vulnerable experience, it taught me very quickly that I need to go deeper within myself. And I needed to kind of ground in, you know, my values, the things that I know to be true about myself, because I was in this, this crazy circumstance where I had literally no control of what was happening. You know, we went and saw all the doctors in the world. We traveled all over the country to see specialists, and they were like, it's alopecia. Good luck. This is what it is. Like, you know, you can wear a wig or you can try these steroid shots. I tried the steroid shots. And after about one round, I was like, this is ridiculous. It like, I am hurting myself, you know, I'm going through pain to try and grow back my hair. When at the end of the day, I know that my hair, it's just my hair. It doesn't affect who I am as a person. I'm healthy other than my hair loss. So I could go on forever. Like you said, this could be a whole other podcast, but it was a wild experience. And over the years, it has grown back completely. Actually, years down the road, maybe 10 years down the road, since losing my hair at 15, it actually grew back and I had long blonde hair. It grew back blonde and fell out again a year after I met Wade. And so it's been this ride of like, okay, it's coming back. That was something in my past. And then, oh no, it's still a part of me. And we're going through this all over again. So it's always been this roller coaster of figuring out who I am as a person and what that means, you know? And at the end of the day, there's not one thing I would change about the experience of alopecia, because that's been what I've learned throughout all of this. It's like, I know who I am, whether I am completely bald looking in the mirror or I have a full head of hair and I'm wearing pigtail braids. Like I'm me, I'm the same person. So Yeah, I'm sorry for going off there, but it.
No. I think that almost, well, anybody can appreciate, no, they can't possibly understand or truly appreciate what you're describing there, but anybody can appreciate this part of your story, that this happened to you at this time when self-image is so fragile, and then there's social media, and then there's, maybe was there social media back then at that time?
No. When I was, so, yeah.
Maybe that was a blessing.
It was absolutely a blessing, and you know, it's become a tool too for me. So when I was in high school, there was no social media. I was alone in the experience, so I didn't know that anyone else had alopecia. I thought this was happening to me and something's wrong with me, right? But the beauty, the good side of this is that, you know, over the years, I've really come to understand that, like, it is so important in your experiences to share them, because you're able to find a community of so many other people that can relate, and who, and you build this camaraderie of like, we're in this together. So that's the good side of social media, bringing us all together.
Yes. Yeah. And then you manage to turn it to take something also about you. This is what we forget. We have this big thing that we perceive as a deficit. We forget that we have all these other assets that we can turn to. And of course, you were this artist that decided to make that. Talk to us about that part of the story, because that's truly fascinating as well.
Totally. Yeah. My journey in makeup artistry started with alopecia, because when I was in high school, I was trying to reach for anything that would make me feel more feminine, in the form of, you know, some eyeshadow, you know, an eyeliner. I wasn't really wearing lipstick, but I was experimenting with makeup. And I grew up in a very small town, and the only store we had was a Walmart. So I was going to Walmart and being like, what's something I can play with here to kind of embolden my femininity. I loved wearing big earrings. I loved wearing chunky jewelry, anything to be like, I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. And so don't question that. You know, I really needed that marker of femininity. And so that's where my journey with makeup started. It was like, I need something to express myself. And I'm a creative person. I just wanted to get creative, and it evolved over the years. So it eventually led me to pursue it as a career. Like, hey, you know, this could be something I really step into and make my life's work. It was my biggest passion. I was always doing, you know, my friends' makeup, anyone for, you know, for proms or dances or anything like that. And so I kind of took it to the next level, and I found John Casablancas Institute in Vancouver, BC. A couple years after I went to college, I went that route. I got my degree in psychology because I originally wanted to be an art therapist. I wanted to go that route. And it just shifted after college. I realized that I needed to be in some kind of practical, like practicing art form, and makeup became my art form. So I started painting my, you know, after I lost my hair a second time, I started painting my head and my whole body. And I was like, I have all this canvas, I have all this space, might as well use it, you know, and spread the message of alopecia.
That's just enough of the story that we need. And then we got to slide right into Wade. Tell us the story of how you guys met, because that's another story that's just like, how to talk about making the best out of a situation.
Yeah. That's a fun one for sure. I never get tired of telling too, because it's so fun thinking back on how it all started. So ultimately, we're both from Montana, but we didn't meet in Montana, which is kind of a rarity, because usually if there's Montana people that end up dating and get married, you would think they're probably from like the same hometown, because there's not a lot of Montanans in the world. But she was going to school up in Vancouver, British Columbia. I got hired to host an event up in Victoria, British Columbia on Vancouver Island. So I was up in Vancouver Island, and at the time I was single, and I always loved connecting with different creatives, romantically, non-romantically, just finding creative people to share that love. I saw Abby's artwork online on Instagram, some of the work that she had been doing. When I literally hashtagged creators, her stuff came up, and I said, wow, who is this amazingly creative, beautiful human being? And said that she was doing something in Montana, which naturally caught my interest. A Montanan who's creative. She was mountain biking. I got to meet this person. Who the heck is this? So I just reached out and said, hey, you know, this is kind of a long shot, a Hail Mary, but it looks like I'm kind of in your neck of the woods. You're in Vancouver. I'm in Victoria. I'd love to meet you if there's ever a chance we could do that. I'm up here for work. I didn't know if I'd hear anything from her. And she reached back out, surprisingly, said, hey, that's awesome. If you want to get a beer or a coffee, I'd love to meet you. I'm always down to meet Montana people. I said, love it. Let's see if I can get over to Vancouver in the next 48 hours in between my work. And you're on an island. So I was like, okay, I'll take the ferry to come over and meet her the next day. Ferry wasn't running. I was like, man, what the heck is this all about? Okay, I got to take the prop plane because there's the little prop plane that does a few trips a day. That was all booked up. So I'm like, what is going on? How am I going to get over to see this woman? I literally can't find a mode of transportation. Am I going to have to kayak? Like, what's going on? So I started thinking outside the box and I said, well, this is kind of interesting. I see there's a private helicopter company, but you know, I can't afford to get a ticket on this private helicopter that's taking, who knows, like very rich people back and forth across the island. But I said, I have my camera with me. Maybe I can tell them the story of me trying to go meet this woman and I'll make them a video, tell the story of what this is. And it would kind of highlight this private helicopter company of theirs. And to my surprise, they said, yes, I went up to them and pitched them this. And they were like, what? We've never heard this in our life. Who are you? What's going on? But they kind of laughed, thought it was pretty funny. And they said, you know, what the heck? This is such a great story. We'll see. Because I showed them a picture of Abby. And I said, no, this is really who I'm going to see. Like, we've never met. We've talked a little bit online. And they said, we love the story, man. Jump on the chopper. We're glad to get you over there to see where you can take this. So the funny thing is that day I had all this footage of essentially vlogging this experience, talking to camera of saying, hey, you know, I'm going to go meet this woman. We know who it is. Lo and behold, I was going to meet literally the love of my life and my future wife. And so then I get over there, meet Abby. Instantly, it's fireworks. We're like, wow, I've never met someone like this before. We're so aligned to like the deepest core of our soul. And I was only supposed to be there, like I said, for like under 24 hours to just meet her, have a coffee, maybe hang out. I stayed an entire week because I couldn't leave her. I was like, this woman's amazing. So we ended up going backpacking and we explored all over for an entire week and basically fell in love. And then within that week, I was living in Colorado. So I finished my project, went back to Colorado. And literally within like a few weeks, I was like, hey, you know, I don't really want to try to do a long distance kind of situation. I really want to see where we can take this and convince her to move to Colorado with me. And that was 7 years ago. And here we are, just got married last year. So,
all right. So this is one of those stories that, you know, I'm really, if you guys just change one life, and obviously with 500,000 fans, you're changing many. But just think of the potential here of if you just change, you know, sometimes I have to tell myself that if I just change one life, improve one life because of an insight I might share and what I'm doing, you know, over the scope of generations, that changes everything forward. And you guys are taking the story of serendipity. There's so much serendipity in what you just both just talked about, right? You know, and you could look for all the bad, the sadness and hopelessness, or you can just look at it like, okay, the potential is here. Play the cards you're dealt. And it really does look like you guys are doing that to make the world a much, much better place. More open, more tolerant, more celebratory in otherwise, you know, difficult times. So thank you so much for sharing that bit of the opening with us. And now I want to get to some of your insights because you guys really have a lovely way of putting some of the things that you're learning. So one of the things I wanted to ask you is, you know, I'm a big believer in that we're all uniquely built to contribute something. And you two seem to have found what you're uniquely built to contribute. And who knows, that will evolve and change because you're very young. But Abby, you know, why don't we start with you? What do you think that you're, what have you discovered you're uniquely built to contribute right now?
Yeah, I think what I've been kind of put on this planet to do is to create art with impact. That's kind of, I think, the culmination of all of my personal passions coming together with a greater mission that has been kind of gifted to me through my experience with alopecia. You know, it's like, I think that's changed too mm-hmm. over the years. I've come to a way more clear understanding of what that means and kind of what to do with it over the years that I've had my alopecia. But connecting art and artistry to that purpose has just like, it's changed my life and given me so much more purpose in everything that I'm doing because I see the impact and the interactions that I have with other people. So I really do think that, you know, for me, it's, it's art with a message, you know? Mm-hmm. And how can you reach more people and hopefully inspire them to take that into their own world and then recreate it through their own versions of expression, whatever that looks like. You know, you might not be an artist, but maybe you're a musician and you think about how can I tie some impact and some purpose into the music beyond just what I love, you know, mm-hmm. how can you reach other people? And so that's for me.
Yeah.
And I think there's a message of healing that you are offering too, because we can sit with these burdens. We can be stuck with them. We might not meet the right people and we might not have the right parents or the right mentors in our life for the burden that we're dealt. Right. And then somebody like you comes along and opens a whole different landscape of self-awareness and dignity and possibility. So I love that. I love that. How about you, Wade? You know, what do you think you're uniquely built to contribute?
Yeah, I think I was put on this planet to help people feel comfortable to find that inner stoke within themselves. I always use this word stoke. It's very common in the outdoor world of like, I think it probably came from the surf world of getting outside and surfing or mountain stoke, but really getting outside and finding that. Yeah, exactly. Woo! But finding that passion for celebrating the great outdoors and celebrating being alive outside. And I think for so many people, maybe the outdoors seem unapproachable or seem that they only fit a certain box and they don't fit in that box. But I think because of my DNA that just has built me to be such a passionate person full of zest to take into the world, I think it's allowed me to act as this bridge for people to cross into the outdoors and realize they can experience it their own way and they can make it individualized and personal to themselves. It doesn't need to look like how it looks for everyone else. And to celebrate that through color, through vibrancy, through just a vivacious approach to come into the world every day with so much, again, stoke and love to bring people into that inner circle.
And I think that comes from what I know of you. I think that comes from a level of gratitude that you're, like your celebration, when we talk about authenticity, I don't know. I hate that word. I'm asking people constantly in my life, if you can come up with a better word, but it's the only word we got right now for what we're talking about. But you have this level of just being you and being so grateful for every breath. And talk to us about how gratitude factors into this celebratory lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head. It's kind of everything. I think for me, gratitude has allowed me to tap into that like fire, that fuel of just waking up every day and realizing it's a gift, like understanding that each day is a gift and there's so much beauty and wonder that can come from that if it's like a small shift in perspective, because we all have things in our life that aren't beautiful. It's not all just rainbows and butterflies. Like life can be hard and challenging for everyone. And so I think for me, being able to, you know, shift perspective when I am facing something challenging and seeing that there's always something to kind of like ground yourself in gratitude, things that you might even take for granted, right? Like just having the love of friends and family in your life or being able to wake up and have good health, have sight, sound, all the things that we take for granted of saying like, wow, I wake up and hear these beautiful birds outside or the sun feels amazing. It's simple things like that that I know might sound a little silly, but it did take me a while to start doing these exercises and routines in the morning to just ground myself in a few simple pillars that start like as a snowball effect, because you find a few things that you pull in to really be grateful for in life. And then more things start, you know, you draw that in to yourself as well. And it just becomes this cataclysmic effect where you have so much good that starts getting pulled in just because of a simple change of perspective. So for me, there we go. I remembered.
Okay.
I got the nonstop gratitude tattoo right there. Kind of forgot I have it on there sometimes, but it's true. Like I look down at that sometimes and be like, it is about the nonstop gratitude, you know? And I think that becomes contagious for other people too. Like I've seen it with others who are just vibrating on such like a grateful mindset. And then I pick up on some of that. And then I want to share that with others as well. And it really is a vibrancy that just goes out on all ends. So I think the gratitude stuff, it really does. It doesn't need to be a huge thing. It can be super small to start your day with like one thing For me, I always wake up in the morning and I literally go ground myself of like stepping outside in the, I know it sounds a little hippy dippy, but like stepping into the earth and then just like putting my feet into the earth and be like, man, I'm alive. I'm here on planet Earth. I can feel the soil between my toes. And that right there gets me being like, this is a beautiful day. Let's do something great with it. And something simple like that has like really affected me tremendously on my shift in perspective of how to go into the world.
So, you know, is gratitude contagious, Abby?
Yeah.
Let me tell you. Yes. I mean, it's just even being Wade's partner has just changed my perspective on so many things and reminded me to just live in that way, because I've had a different experience, you know, like I've in losing my hair, I feel like I lost myself so many different times. And yeah, I'm a direct result of that. Is true. That is exactly right. Like, you have to find those gratitude moments throughout every single day. And it's one of those things, like Wade said, it doesn't have to be huge. You don't have to be like overwhelmed by it, but just finding it in the little things. And I personally think like finding it within yourself is the most important, because that's how you're able to go on and then share that with other people.
Yeah. And I'll share with people a little practice that my husband and I have. We've been together for 49 years. Is that crazy?
That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
We were 48 more, and then we'll be right there with you.
Yes. Well, you know, back to your gratitude, that this contagion thing, we've always made sure that both of us didn't fold like a lawn chair at the same time. Like, there's, you know, we're not talking all rainbows and unicorns life here. And there's been so many challenges in our life. My husband and I both have serious childhood traumas, and, you know, oh, I'm telling you, it's something all the time. But you know what? We just made this commitment, like your gratitude practice, that whoever's at the lowest, the other one goes the highest. It just, we'd always balance each other up so we could mathematically end up above the fray.
Totally.
And that's what your work kind of reminds me of. You've got this huge community that's supporting each other, and the math on that has to be just mind-bendingly positive. And of course, we can't hear anything but negative from the news, but, you know, thank you for that aspect of what you guys are doing, is that you're reminding us to be grateful. And then, of course, I think one of the things that you do, Abby, and I'd love to comment this on this before we go to the break, but you remind us that we have this choice every day to focus on what we don't got. instead of focusing on what we do have, right?
Totally.
We just seem hardwired to focus on what we don't have.
Yeah, it's a crazy human thing. I don't think it's anyone's fault, you know. I think we just tend to let that negativity sometimes be a little bit louder. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I've become so vocal over the years of like, we need to be even louder about the positive than we think we need to be, you know, because I always feel that, at least within my world online, is I sometimes feel like I'm shouting this message. I'm yelling it out to the world. I'm posting all the time. I'm meeting with people. I'm like putting it all out there. And then someone will be like, why are you bald? Yeah. Ooh, you look like Mr. Clean. And I'm like, well, okay, I have way more work to do. Clearly, like, this is not reaching everyone. And so it's kind of this wild experience where, you know, like, you have to be so much louder than you think. I have to tell myself that all the time, because it's, I guess, a good analogy that we talked about earlier was, like, you know, when people, you go read reviews of a restaurant or something, and usually people leave bad reviews for whatever reason. A negative experience, you know, is the one that someone will take to the internet and share. And people have great experiences all the time, but maybe they just don't share them because it gets overlooked. And so I always think that, like, for whatever reason, that the negativity seems to just overpower, you know, whether it's through the media or social media or in conversation. So there's a lot of heaviness, and it's like,
definitely.
It definitely reminds both of us that, like, that's why it's so important to be really loud and really consistent and, like, just keep putting that out there, because you never know who you're going to reach in a moment of someone else's life where something's going on. We don't know what other people are going through. And that message might reach at the right time and be so much more impactful than we even realize, you know?
Okay, I gotta throw this one at you. It's off our plan, but I think we're so close to it. So I encourage people to find somebody, and you guys obviously have each other, and my husband and I have each other, but not everybody has been lucky enough to just run across that partner yet. But In any case, you can have partners in life from all kinds of angles. And I have a thought partner in my life who owns the one of the largest, oldest TEDx's in the world, in the United States. We met years ago when I did his TED conference. And we meet every Thursday morning, and he's my idea partner. We're just crazy idea people. So we're talking about this thing that I'd like to share with you, because you just went right up against it. What if we all stopped worrying about a million followers? Like, what if we stopped worrying about the numbers and started to care about the one person whose life we might improve today? Yes. Just the one person. Yeah. Like, think about that in the scope of time. If we each, let's say only half of us, we could get 4 billion people to do this. Don't worry about the numbers or how many fans you have or this whole thing about influencing. What if you influenced one person's life a day in a better way? Just think about the impact of that over time. I think that's just what you were saying, right? If you reach one person with a message of hope, either of you, can you comment on that? What does it make you think? Do you have any stories you want to share?
Yes, I have 100 stories I want to share. I love this so much. And I think that this conversation needs to be had among so many circles out there, because it is, you know, Wade and I live in Los Angeles. We work in the social media landscape. We're surrounded by numbers, and we're surrounded by comparison all the time, the time, to the point where, you know, this last year was challenging for me, because I, as an artist, you know, I'm measuring my work against the best that it can hopefully be. And there's other artists out there, and social media, you're surrounded by it. And so it's easier said than done to just not worry about the numbers, especially when it's a part of your profession.
In your livelihood.
But what I've started doing is taking periods of time where I hide all the likes on my social media so that I don't look at who's watching my stories. I'm not looking at who's liking or who's commenting. I'm only putting out things that I think can inspire some joy, bring me joy, or, you know, create an interesting conversation or share an important story. And I think that it's really easy in social media to get caught up in the comparison, because it's human nature. It's not anyone's fault. It's just, we're all trying to be our best out there, and we're all ambitious, and, you know, we all want to do a lot in the world, but you really have to boil it down to like your why, your reason. I had an experience, and this is a story I'll share, because I just recently had this experience last weekend. We were in Arizona for a mountain bike race, and a mom reached out to me on Instagram. She had been following me for a couple years now. She reached out and told me that her 4-year-old daughter has alopecia, and she's been really struggling with it lately. And she asked if I would meet with her. And so we met with Addie, who's 4 years old, for several hours.
Well, she had never seen another person look like
her. Yeah, she had never seen
in real life
another girl with alopecia ever. And so it was a really impactful moment for her. And I broke down crying. You know, her mom was crying. Addie's just like, oh my gosh, you're bald, I'm bald, we look the same. Like, you look like me. It was this crazy moment that, you know, I have had many moments similar to that throughout my journey with alopecia. And I've worked on other girls with alopecia and done their makeup. I've had those impactful experiences. But this one was really special, because it was just such like this tangible reminder of how important it is to focus on the why, and to try and have so much positive impact on other people, because nothing else matters. If I do the best makeup look in the world and it goes out there and I feel good about it, it stops there. And that's fulfilling my own ego. That's for me. Mm-hmm. But what are you doing out there in the world to make an impact in a positive way on other people? I could cry right now talking about it, because I just like seeing Addie's face light up and be like, I'm not alone in this. And we are in this together, you and me. That's why that's the reason to do anything, and to be really focused in on why you're doing anything, especially on social media. Like, who cares about how many people follow you? Sometimes I have to remind myself and be like, Imagine if you stood in a room and 20 people were in a room. You know, maybe you get 5 likes. That's 5 people. Like, the numbers don't equate to human connection. But if you you zoom out and be like,
5 people are standing there listening.
15 people liked anything that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Put those 15 people in a room and think about that impact. Like, that's really important to think about, because social media has kind of become this machine of like attention this stuff out there. But like, these are, no, it's not. It's we're real people and we're all affecting each other. And that is like, it's super, super, super important to think about.
I think what you're saying is, I love this. We're going to talk about the why when we come back from the break, but it's about this why and the one person you changed. You know, you brought your why into it, which is all that you can bring. And then you just changed the one. That is so mind-bogglingly more important than all these other numbers. So Wade, how about you? Talk to us about the why and the one.
Yeah. In regards, I was just going to chime in there with the one. I think it's important to remember that if you really focus on that why and hone in on just affecting like that one person, if it becomes a meaningful, impactful moment for that one person, it's almost inevitable that that one multiplies. And then that becomes, you know what I mean? Like, if you're able to tap into just one person that really, like, I would way rather have one person really connect with what I'm doing and really be about that message than 100 people that are kind of like lukewarm, like, I don't know, because the chances of those 100 people becoming advocates of that same message is so much lower than if that one person is like, okay, I'm your guy or I'm your woman or I'm whoever for you. I just want to be that person to go spread more of that. It's like you are making so much more of an impact that then becomes like a movement. And I think that contagiousness, the snowball effect, happens at a faster rate when you really get that. Like, and we saw that with that mess or that story Abby just told. It's so true. Like, that young girl, like, she'll never forget that moment. And as she gets older, she's going to now go into the world with that perspective that Abby gave her and change more people's lives and other girls that will become young girls to her. And that's the beauty, I think, of what we're talking about here, is honing in on that, like, real, the meat and potatoes of it all, right? Like, the stuff that really is going to ground it and hold it, and then goes way beyond the social media metrics, goes way beyond all the kind of superficial side of that stuff, where it's a little bit more impactful to look at the real movement on the ground that you're having. And for me, it's been the same as Abby too. It's like, when you see someone who really connects with that message and becomes an advocate for it, it's almost like you've created someone for life, you know?
You created a generational change.
Yeah, totally.
We all have that teacher. You know, he and I were just talking about this morning. So he had done a talk for about 50 real estate people, and he does a talk about something he calls the swarm effect. So that's sort of like the goalpost is that you get a lot of people to come up after your talk and talk to you. And he was disappointed that he could tell he really reached 5 people. So that's 10%. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. You may have changed the way 5 really important people change other people's lives. And that's everything. It's not nothing. But why do we get this idea that we got to change everybody in the room? Think about the social media postings where you might get 1 like or 1 comment that's really strong, right? There are times when we say, oh, I'm never going to post on that again because I only got 1 like or 1 comment, right? Whereas maybe that one person will go out and change the lives of many because of the way you inspired them.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's say that one person goes off to be like a Nobel Prize winner or something, right? Like, because of your one movement there, you literally altered the course of their life, that person goes on to change the world.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, how we look at a lot of the work that we do is.
Yeah. And it's like, it's important to ignore the numbers because everyone is doing something important and impactful out there in so many different ways. But it is important to like look past the numbers, and like, it's the reason I have to hide my likes because I can't, I don't want to think that's distracting, you know, it's distracting what you're trying to do. So Yeah.
I think that's a really important tip here, is that for anybody who's, let's say, and we're not talking to people who are trying to change the world necessarily. We're trying to people who are trying to make the food bank, local food bank, more successful. Or, really? You know, make the bottle drive for the Girl Scouts more successful. It's the same, right? It's the same principle. Instead of, you know, measuring your success by some number, just measure it by the hearts and minds that you expanded. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And like, it's important to remember that, like, we never used to have this comparison metric before. This is a really new human experiment that we're all a part of, that, like, you know, I never used to be able to compare with numbers how someone else's impact. And maybe it's not even an impact. Maybe it's just a video that's just for attention. It's not even real, but that gets more viewership, like, and that gets measured as successful. Like, number one, who's to say that? So you have to just completely forget about those numbers when it comes to what you're focusing on, what you're trying to create and bring into the world. Because sometimes the most impactful, important stuff, it doesn't get attention. It doesn't get seen in the same way. So yeah, it's a new thing, and it's a weird part of the human experience.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's really new.
Yeah, lovely. I'm glad we strayed onto that. Okay. All right, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Abby and Wade.
You know how the constant negative noise in our digital lives feels like it's reaching a boiling point? Now, many of us have tuned out the news and social media almost entirely. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. There are newsworthy stories about amazing progress, innovation, leaps in human potential, and wonders in the natural world, and they're just not reaching the top of our feeds. We can have access to this, but none of us has the time or maybe even the emotional stamina to search through all the doom and gloom news to find what's right with the world. Okay, enter the Goodness Exchange. There, we are giving instant access to positive news for curious people. Did you hear about the recent Harvard study that found that exposure to just 4 minutes of good news can make you 32% less anxious and 18% more optimistic? Well, I don't know about you, but I need those kind of numbers in my life. So if you want to live with more joy and way less fear, it's really simple. First, you join us at the Goodness Exchange. Everyone around the world has the opportunity to access this kind of content. And we've promised no politics for about a decade, so you're safe from all that distraction as well. Second, you allow this new, more positive, balanced worldview to put a spring in your step again. It can change the way you react to your kids, your coworkers, everybody you come in contact with. And the stories we write about can make you the idea person in your circles. These challenging times call for us to wake up and take control of our perspective. The people who use the Goodness Exchange have the ability to react to the harshness of the world much different, because they know way more about what's right with the world. And that's a resource. So subscribe to the Goodness Exchange, our YouTube channel and the podcast, and use this content to live a more expansive worldview. It is still an amazing world out there, and you can be a part of it. Welcome to the Conspiracy of Goodness.
Okay, we're back with Abby Wren and Wade Holland. They are a dynamic duo in the creative world that is making it easy for all of us to be our unique best selves. Once you tune in to the work they're doing in the world, you'll see why they have so many followers. And I think it's because they're taking the vulnerability hit. They're taking the risk for us, that they're setting the bar way out there so that we have so much running room to also be ourselves. So thank you for doing that for the world. Hey, I want to talk to you because we've spent some time talking about the things that life has taught you. And one of the things that I know you guys represent that I've learned in life is that we've got to leave room for serendipity. We can't have these tight plans and these goals that are unshakable. And I'm pretty sure you guys didn't have a plan to wind up right where you're at right now, doing right what you're doing, right?
I planned it out from day one. I wrote the whole script. No, I'm kidding. Not even close. Not even close. I never would have thought, you know, I would have had a partner who is so integrated into my life, like truly my business partner, my creative partner, and to find someone to go through life like this, you know, where we're coming up with creative concepts together and we're doing work separately, but also collectively. And it's been so beautiful to see how life has unfolded for both of us as a team. And I mean, Abby can speak to it, but I don't think we ever saw, like, you could have never written this out, right? It was, we just kind of were taking each step at a time and building off the next thing. And next thing you know, here we are talking with you.
Yeah, it's evolved in such a wild way. Like Wade said, there's no way we could have ever like predicted to be here working in this way, living in this way. And even with like the missions that we have now, you know, like years ago, I thought alopecia was a part of my past and I was never going to tell anyone about it again. And here I am like telling everyone on the internet forever about alopecia. You know, there was even a point in time to give some context where Wade was encouraging me to tell more about my story. Yeah. And I was terrified. I was like, you don't understand. I can't possibly tell someone else that my hair is falling out and that it's okay. 'Cause it's not, like, I wasn't there yet. And that's just like, you're right. It's serendipity. And it's also just, it's trusting. I strongly believe in trusting in the universe as whatever is out there that's magnetic and that pulls us in all of these different ways throughout life, trusting in that and moving with it and evolving with it and trusting to grow. You know, when Wade and I first got together, you know, he was producing video sets and I would help out when I could, but I was working on makeup jobs. I was working on set, doing bridal makeup. You know, I was in my own world and we were working more separately. And as time evolved, you know, I wasn't at the point in my career where I could really support, my half of what I was doing. I just financially was having a hard time building this makeup business because I was fresh out of school. And Wade jumped in and really was like, hey, I think we work really well together and I think we can build something amazing and I need help. You know, I could teach you to edit. I could teach you to shoot with me and, you know, you're organized. You could produce. And so he started teaching me about his world and kind of brought me in and I was able to quit my bartending job that I had at the time. And, you know, I was still working in makeup and I was doing makeup jobs, but in my spare time, he taught me to edit and I was editing his projects and, you know, copywriting for him. I was sending emails from his email. We just started working together and we absolutely loved it. And it kind of became this like this collision of our two different perspectives together, coming together and being like, wow, we see the world the same way. We want, you know, we really want this whole message of different is dope kind of became our ethos in all the media that he was putting out, my approach to makeup and life. And it all just kind of combined into this wild tornado of the two of our worlds.
100%.
It's crazy how it evolved. And you couldn't have told me that when we met and fell in love that we would also be working together in this way. I would have been like, absolutely not. I'm a makeup artist. Like, you know, it didn't make sense to me back then. And now I can't see a life and a reality where that ever wouldn't be the case. It's just crazy.
And curiosity. That is one thing that I will say, like staying curious has been so at the core of our serendipity, like how things have come into our life. I think the root of it has always tried or has always been us staying curious on what would that look like and maybe peeking through the door a little bit and then being like, okay, let's actually go into that and see where this takes us. And I think so often in life, people kind of forget that trait of maybe putting their head down and seeing it's got to go this way. But it's just like a slight bit of curiosity literally will change your world because, you know, just being curious enough about who this woman was over in Vancouver to be like, this is interesting. Who is she? Like, what is this? There might be something there. And little did I know, like, I didn't know if you told me then, hey, this person is this, you're going to marry her. You're going to run this business with her. You two are going to be creating collectively in the most beautifully vibrant fashion. Like, I never would have thought that. I would say, no, I don't know that. I just think she seems interesting and I'm curious who she is. But that was like literally the entry point of what led me to all this beautiful stuff that we're talking about right now. And I think it's those little traits of staying curious on your toes that keep life so interesting too for all aspects of it.
Would you say curiosity? It's got to be, hey, I got to say something I'm curious about. How do you do the back of your head?
Mm. Great question. Yeah.
So there's actually a handheld mirror that I use, and I turn around, and if I'm doing the back of my head, I don't always do it. And if Wade is not available to help me, because I've also pulled him in many times to help me with the back, but I hold a mirror in front of myself, kind of like how you would at a barber. You know, if you were at a hairstylist, if they're doing your hair, you hold the mirror and then you have a mirror behind you. You can see exactly what you're doing. But I don't always take it all the way back there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. I just had to take that little diversion because I'm one of those people that like are always trying to think how things actually happen. Okay. Totally. But talk to me about, Abby, your thoughts about curiosity, because there had to be some point where you crossed over from the shame and the lack of dignity with the alopecia into this land of getting curious about what was possible. Yeah. Like, talk to us about how curiosity factors into your work.
Totally. Well, I have to start by saying that it really became so much more just a part of my life and my mindset and the way that I thought after meeting Wade, because by nature, I'm a little bit more, I'm a recovering people pleaser, I like to say, because I don't want that to be the center of who I am, but I grew up with some of those tendencies. And so I have been a little bit more of like a rule follower initially. And Wade has been the one to be like, absolutely not. You make your own rules. Like, here's how we're doing it. And I love it. So it's really, really inspired me to, you know, to adopt some of that thinking. And same with curiosity. I think having a partner who is just so like lively and clearly so energetic and full of life, it has impacted me so much. And it really balanced me out, because I definitely could tend to think a little too deep and get too much in my head. And I'm an artist, so I'm constantly self-critiquing. And, you know, so it's always been super, super helpful to have his impact on my tendencies, my personality. But in terms of curiosity, I think it really all kind of flipped and turned when the pandemic happened at the end of 2019. You know, I was always posting on social media and I was sharing my work as often as I could. But in 2020, I was forced to stop working on all my clients. I couldn't be anywhere near anyone's face. And so, you know, all of my red carpet jobs stopped. All of the clients that I was traveling to their house to do personal makeup, that stopped. Everything dried up. Film industry stopped. There were no weddings. Everything stopped. And so my world kind of completely halted overnight. And it was then when Wade and I were, again, we always are working together and really passionate about social media. We love just putting our lives out there and sharing it and building communities and friendships online. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was an opportunity for me to be like, look, I need to now be really bold about this message. And I had pretty recently lost my hair for the second time to alopecia. And I was like, there's so much I need to be talking about here. And again, Wade gave me the push, the nudge to share that more openly. And I was really curious about this online world. And, you know, I really had to squash my ego at the time. It was very difficult for me because I had just worked so hard to prove myself as a professional makeup artist. Mm-hmm. Like this, these are the brushes you use. I know I've read all the books. I studied, I went to the school, I won awards. Like
this is the way you do
it. I'm proving myself to become this artist that knows what she's doing after pivoting careers even before that. And so I'm like finally rooted in this a little bit of success and I'm making money, you know, I'm building this business, and then the whole thing stopped.
Yeah.
And it was really a time where I had to like swallow my pride and be like, number one, I love creating online. And number two, it's okay if I'm known as a makeup artist that works online. Like that was really hard for me because I had so much pride about being like, I'm not a YouTube makeup artist. I'm not self-taught. Like I know what I'm doing. You have to clean your brushes. You have to make sure your hygiene is dialed in when you're working on other, there's a way to do this, you know, and everything changed overnight. It was like, there's no way to do this online. Yeah. Like, good luck. You got to figure this out. And who wants to work with you? Will brands support what you're doing? How do you show your work? I got to get a better camera. And how do I film and edit? And wait, you mean now I suddenly have to film myself doing this? It's no longer working on someone else. It's a totally different thing. It's flipped backwards in the mirror. It was a whole new learning curve, but I loved it. And I just went all into it. We definitely were like, okay, this is what we have right now. Mm-hmm. So whether it works or it doesn't work, we have to just go for it. And I was curious about that world. I was curious about what it would be like to now turn my bald head into my canvas rather than working on so many other people. And it taught me, like, I have a story to tell. I've been through this crazy experience and it's connected to makeup. It's okay that I'm not this like prestigious makeup artist. Mm-hmm. And in that way, you know, I can be my own version of that as I evolve. But it that was hard for me. That was definitely a challenge at the time.
I remember that.
So as you know, as we go along here and we're talking about, you know, all the things that your journey has taught you, what do you really wish people knew? You know, everything you've been through has brought you to this moment. If this interview had just been a couple minutes, you know, and that happens. Sometimes you'll just get a piece on the evening news. That happened to me when I published my book. And God, I was trying to boil down a whole book in a 3-minute interview. It was insane. But I did end up with my little 2-minute thing that I really wish people knew. What do you guys take a turn at that? What do you really wish people knew, Abby?
I think my answer to that is I really wish that people knew their own magic. Mm. I really wish that people knew their own magic, their own unique thing that they can share with the world. Maybe it's to make a bigger difference. Maybe it's just to bring a little vibrancy and color into the world. Maybe it's to heal a part of themselves. But I wish more people knew their own power and their own magic. That is, it's literally in all of us. Every single person has a story, has a message. It's like a ball of energy that is in all of us because we all have totally different life experiences. And it's really hard to somehow work with that and then share it to the world. Like, it takes a lot of time and a lot of work on yourself and on being comfortable to share that vulnerably, right, with the world. But I wish that everyone knew that magic within them.
That's lovely. Yeah. How about you, Wayne?
Yeah, piggybacking a little bit off of that, but fitting it kind of into what I'm about and my message is, I want people to know that the outdoors is for everyone and they don't need to do it how everyone else does it. They can and should do it and experience it their own way that celebrates their own uniqueness, that brings their voice into it and finds their own magic, like Abby said, in the outdoors. Because I think if people really started approaching being outside and the natural world in a way that made sense to them and they felt comfortable and encouraged to do so, you're going to start seeing so much more empathy for the natural world. And my whole thing is to get people to care more about it and want to protect it, want to preserve it. But that will only happen is if you get people to have more of a relationship with it. And in my opinion, the way to get people to have that relationship is to start finding entry points that make it comfortable for them, that make it make sense to them and make it something that feels them, not just, oh, I have to do it this way, but I don't fit into that box. Or I see people wearing these clothes, or I see people talking about it this way. That's not my culture. That's not how I approach things. And I want to scrap that and say the outdoors isn't that. It's been kind of presented to people that way for so long, but I really believe the outdoors, it's a thing that doesn't judge you. It's a thing that levels the playing field for everyone from any economic background you come from any culture you come from. And that's why the outdoors is so special. And it is something that every human being on planet Earth is deserving to come into. And we need to protect it. And I think if that's how we can get people to come into it, we have a shot at ultimately saving the world.
I think you're so right. Can you give us some examples? You know, I'm looking out my window here. I live in northern Vermont, you know, in the middle of endless woods. Yeah. And the outdoors is everything to me. But I realize that, you know, I'm in a small percentage. Most people would think that where I live, I can't even get cell phone at my house. I've been in places in Kenya that have better cell service than I have. And most people think that that kind of outback right here in the North America is just a step too far. So give me some examples of the ways that you've seen people be inspired to engage outdoors that we wouldn't even think of. Like, yeah, we all know about mountain biking. Maybe you're a cyclist, maybe you're not. Or we know about, you know, the way kayaks have become so ubiquitous. You know, those people kayaking on the Hudson River right through downtown Manhattan. But are there any stories or examples that you want to share with us?
Yeah, there's tons. I think for the sake of time, without going off on so many things, just something that's so relatable is with my partner, right? I mean, Abby is someone who I think represents a really unique artist because they have this very kind of urban texture of what they're about, of color and being inspired by graffiti and urban landscapes, but then taking that creativity literally into the outdoors and saying, hey, I'm not going to go do a crazy downhill mountain biking adventure, or maybe I'm not going to rock climb that huge face of a mountain, but I want to come bring my artistry into outdoors by being inspired by the natural surroundings and then paint onto my face and experience the outdoors that way. It's a totally different experience than someone who's, you know, charging to the top of 14,000 feet. It's a way different kind of experience, but it's appreciating that world that you step into in their own way. And it's just been so exciting for me because I'm so intimately attached to Abby, seeing how the outdoors, I mean, she grew up in Montana, so she has an outdoor piece to her, but it's like blossomed so much more really by being in Los Angeles, funny enough, because by being in an urban area, but also having outdoors, she's able to take this like creative urban element and then be inspired by the outdoors and fuse them together in a really beautiful way that most people wouldn't think of. That's how you experience the outdoor adventure world.
You're reminding me of a fabulous artist we did a story on at the Goodness Exchange. He was a chalk artist and he would go out for a walk, have his little bag of chalk, and he would see a crack in the sidewalk. That would remind him, the shape of the crack would remind him of something. And he'd completely fill it out so that it might be a little gnome peeking up over the crack in the sidewalk.
I love that.
You know, a brick sticking out weirdly on a wall, would it look like an elephant to him? And you know, they make it made for absolutely amazing wonder in other passersby's life, of course. So there's the multiplication of the wonder that we can expand for others. But in him, that was his outdoor journey, was to take his artistry to the streets and the cracks. And there was one where there was a little bit of weeds growing in the crack. And then, of course, he incorporated that into the image, which made this absolutely hilarious little creature. Yeah, we've got to expand our notion of what's possible.
Totally.
Okay. Well, we have to wrap up. I have to say, this is lovely. Thank you so much for sharing your stories and your energy with us. Tell us what people should do next. Okay. So let's say we've got people fired up about their uniqueness, about the outdoors, about, you know, taking some part of them that they consider a deficit and maybe turning it on its side and seeing how to make an advantage. Let's say we've inspired people with any of the things that we've talked about. What can people do next to connect more with your work? Tell us where they can find you and any kind of things people can do next.
Yeah, all of my handles are pretty much the same. It's my name, Abby Wren Artistry, ABBYWREN Artistry. And I love to post everywhere, but I'm very passionate about YouTube right now. So I'm making weekly videos that are kind of a little bit more of a behind the scenes look at our life, which is wild. And we're traveling all the time and we're working together. And so it's a little bit of like an inside look of what we're doing. But I also really love TikTok and Instagram as well.
Yeah. And then for me, it's just my name, at Wade Holland. So everywhere online, if you just look up Wade Holland, you can find my work there. And I think kind of like a call to action for people, if there's ever questions or there's things they're thinking, Abby and I love to engage online and offline. And so it's huge to reach out and engage in those conversations. And so by all means, please feel free to like shoot us a DM. A lot of times if we're like where we met, you know, when we're speaking at events or we're going to different events, like please come meet up. I love meeting people. Abby loves meeting people in person. It's where her work comes to life even more. And I really love engaging these conversations with people in person. And so if we ever are in different towns, whether like we're out on the East Coast, if we're in your neck of the woods, like would love to meet, because that's when some of the best conversations and action actually tends to happen.
I love that we're ending on this note. I got to share with you that age is against me because my generation is just not as at ease with folks. I mean, I'm way out there by most people's. I do giant metal sculptures out of found objects. I've made a life-size T-Rex, etc. I'm a welder. So I'm pretty far out there. A lady dentist welder is, I guess, pushing the envelope. But even with that, even though I'm that out there, I didn't know how to approach you guys. It was a very weird. I remember exactly where you were standing when I finally did. I remember the tree that you were standing at in that indoor facility. That was a beautiful facility that this sea change is at. But in any case, I'm going to give people a little tip. How I walk up to people like Wade and Abby is I walk up and I usually say, hi. You guys look like the kind of people who could improve my way of thinking in about a dozen ways. I'm Dr. Linda Ulrich. And then I introduce myself and shake hands. But I think that if we got used to telling others that what they're putting out, the energy they're putting out, that you don't have to be, you know, extravagantly dressed or anything like that, but just some kind of energy that draws us to others. If we just acknowledge right off that we know that they're going to improve our way of thinking about something, that is a nice way to open a conversation with somebody who's dressed unusual or doing something artistic, or don't you think? Do you, 100%. How do you like people to approach you? I'm just trying to give people some tips on how to just take the risk and just stick out your hand and meet new people that are doing could be outlandish things.
You were amazing. You did a great job. I was like, wow, this woman, and you're so kind and so nice. I think kindness and approaching anyone ever with just like a compliment or just something nice, I always, you know, gravitate towards like colorful things. And so if I see someone's wearing like colorful earrings or a shirt or shoes, I'm always like, I love your shoes. Those are so cool. And it just like makes people feel more comfortable and opens up the doors for conversation right away. And you did an amazing job with that. So piggybacking off your tip, I agree. Like find something that you just find interesting right off without even knowing them of like, you have awesome hair. Or you like just any kind comment instantly makes people smile. I'm doing it right now. It's like, yeah, for sure. Like, who are you? What's your name? I think it creates more of a real human connection for people leading with that.
And an openness, like a comfort and openness between the two of you. Because like meeting new people, sometimes it's really weird or awkward. Like, and you never know how someone's going to react.
Totally.
Someone could seem really intimidating, but be the sweetest person on earth or vice versa, right? So you never know, but I always say, shoot your shot and just connect, just say hello and connect. Just like
I shot my shot with her
years ago. And I would have never approached him because I probably would have been nervous, but he just went for it with me, you know? So I think there's so much in just going for it and just saying hello and connecting no matter what comes.
Exactly. You never know what will happen too, right? Like we didn't know we would be here doing this with you. Yeah. It's like one simple hello from you and here we are having this amazing conversation. So thank you for taking that little leap of talking to us, because literally this wouldn't have happened without your initial engagement. So thank you, Dr. Linda.
Well, I hope that the conversation that we've had today helps others, even just one person, spin off into a new landscape of what may happen for them, and that all the sense of possibility that we've talked about in the last hour can help people just reach. That's the thing. You guys make it really safe to reach, and I appreciate your work in the world for that so much.
Thank you. And thank
you. Okay.
You're doing too.
Yeah. This is such an impactful and powerful movement that you're creating. Yeah. So
agreed.
Both Wade and I just feel really honored to be a part of it in any capacity. So, you know, let us know how else we can help. We're so grateful to be here.
Full of gratitude.
Well, great. You are part of the Conspiracy of Goodness constellation of the Goodness Exchange. And we will try and combine our efforts in some new creative way. Maybe someday we'll do a video together. I can get out in the welding shop and create some real sparks and we can figure out a way.
I love it.
Oh,
welding at night is one of the coolest things you will ever watch. Oh,
okay. It.
We got more to talk about after we sign off. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Conspiracy of Goodness podcast. I hope the insights that we've shared with you today will carry you through your week and you'll start finding all the joy and wonder that Abby, Wade, and I have been talking about. Have a great week.
Thank you.